Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Attorney General's reversal of an Obama-era policy restraining federal prosecutors in states that have legalized marijuana from bringing charges. Mark Kleiman, a professor of public policy at New York University, where he leads the Crime and Justice Program, joins us to discuss Jeff Sessions' peculiar obsession about what he sees as a greater scourge than the opioid epidemic, marijuana, which the AG likens to heroin, and the furious backlash from Colorado's Republican Senator Cory Gardner, who accused Sessions of violating promises he had made and threatened retaliation. Then we'll assess the importance of the explosive admission by Steve Bannon in the new book Fire and Fury, which Trump is trying to suppress. Bannon's belief that Mueller's probe, quote, is all about money laundering, suggesting that the special counsel's, quote, path to effing Trump goes right through Paul Manafort, Don Jr., and Jared Kushner. They're going to roll those guys. And Bannon goes on to say that Mueller will crack Don Jr. like an egg on national TV. An expert on international money laundering, James Henry, the co-founder with David K. Johnson of the new investigative reporting news service, dcreport.org, and author of Blood Bankers, joins us to discuss how, after being blackballed by Wall Street, money laundering became the Trump business model with an open invitation to Russian gangsters, kleptocrats, oligarchs, and assorted third world looters to invest in the Trump family real estate projects. Buttressing Bannon's warning, we'll also discuss the New York Times op-ed by the heads of Fusion GPS, who urged congressional investigators to look into Trump's Russian money laundering, an effort which fell on deaf Republican ears. Then finally, we'll speak with Clay Calvert, the Brechner Eminent Scholar in Mass Communication and Director of the First Amendment Project at the University of Florida. He joins us to discuss Trump's litigious effort to silence Bannon with a cease and desist warning and his attack on the new book by Michael Wolff that contains the widely quoted remarks of Bannon's, which portray an unqualified and ignorant leader and first family in the White House. We will assess what appears to be a futile threat by Trump's lawyer, who is demanding that the publisher immediately cease and desist the publication of the book, which is already number one on Amazon's bestseller list. And joining us now is Mark Kleiman, a professor of public policy at the New York University Mellon School of Urban Management and at NYU's Wagner, where he leads the Crime and Justice Program. He's the author of Marijuana, Costs of Abuse, Costs of Control. He also edits the Drug Policy Analysis Bulletin and has worked for the United States Department of Justice as Director of Policy and Management Analysis for the Criminal Division. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Kleiman.
Thank you, Ian. Always a pleasure.
Well, thank you, Mark. And what are we to make of the priorities of the Attorney General? To begin with, just a few days ago, Donald Trump attacked the entire Department of Justice, all these career prosecutors, by calling them in a tweet the Deep State Department of Justice. The head of the DOJ, the Attorney General, did not come to the rescue of his insulted rank and file, has been totally silent on it. But now he's come out today to rescind a Barack Obama-era policy, which he had promised not to do. At least that's what Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado is saying. He was absolutely furious.
I believe it's the case that Mr. Trump had promised not to do that during the campaign.
Trump is on record, on video, in campaigning in Colorado. He was asked about it,
right,
and he said, "I'm a states person," meaning I'm a states' right person, and right. I won't touch the marijuana project. So,
right. So that was Trump's commitment, not Sessions's.
Right.
So I don't think Gardner can claim that Sessions has broken his word.
Well, he said he broke his word to him. Yeah. I mean, he had promised him before Sessions' confirmation that he would stick.
That
he would stick with the Cole
memo
or whatever it's called.
So
let's talk about that just to understand what has happened and what regime existed. The so-called Cole memo is named after the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General, who issued it, James Cole. And it basically instructs federal prosecutors to deprioritize marijuana-related prosecutions in states that have legalized marijuana, right?
Well, to deprioritize prosecutions of activities permitted under those state laws.
Right.
Unless they trench on one of eight named federal priorities.
So what's going to happen now? That obviously,
nothing.
You don't. But isn't that already having a chill on the business model? That you know, they just legalized marijuana a couple of days ago here in California.
Yes, and it'll stay quite legal. I mean, that is to say, it will stay just as illegal as it was, right? I mean, all of that activity going on under state law wasn't as illegal under federal law. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
When my group was working with the what's now the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board, setting up their legal market, I kept reminding people, look, we're issuing state licenses to commit federal felonies. And so there's no doubt whatsoever that federal law remains valid, even in the states that have legalized. All they can do is get rid of the state statute bar to selling or possessing cannabis. There's equally no doubt that the states have a perfect right to do that. Right? It's black letter constitutional law. The federal government may not require a state to make something criminal or to help enforce a federal criminal law. So the states are acting strictly within their rights to license the cannabis business. And the federal government would be acting strictly within its rights to enforce its law just the same. After all, there are lots of things that are against federal law that aren't against state law. And that doesn't make them sort of legal. A friend of mine gave the right example. Under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, if an official of IBM, for example, bribes an official of Nigerian government, that's a federal felony. But it's not against the law in New York State. I mean, New York State doesn't have a Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. It would be strange to say that the federal government was doing something wrong in enforcing its law just because the state didn't have the same law. What's complicated here is that the Controlled Substances Act instructs the Attorney General to cooperate with the states. And so where the states have decided to regulate rather than prohibiting, I think he's under a fairly clear obligation to acquiesce in that, and that's apparently the decision that the Obama Justice Department made. But whatever the legal merits of the case, there's a much more important practical issue, which is the Drug Enforcement Administration has 4,000 agents worldwide. There are 500,000 state and local cops. There are probably 50,000 state and local cops in California. There's no way the federal government can actually enforce that law without the help of state authorities. So they could shut down the legal industry in California, because all those people, you know, file paperwork and have licenses. But then they couldn't do anything about the illegal business.
If the feds ever followed this through and arrested dispensaries, et cetera, if they went to trial, their jury pool would be citizens who voted to legalize marijuana.
In some places that would be true. In other places it wouldn't. I mean, I'm not sure what the vote was like in the Central Valley, for example.
Right. Well, but statewide it was pretty overwhelming, and it has been that
right,
way.
But the jury pool is chosen from the federal judicial district,
right?
Not statewide. They might or might not get a conviction. Assuming that a U.S. attorney wanted to waste his resources on this. I mean, the Sessions memo does not instruct anybody to do anything. So what he says is he's returning the discretion to the United States attorneys, right? The presidentially appointed official in each of 94 judicial districts who runs federal prosecution for that district. They have complete discretion, and I think most of them are going to say, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Now, look, I can imagine a situation where a local DEA office will have a reason to want to make a case, and then it's going to be a tough call for the U.S. attorney about whether to prosecute that case or not. And yes, I noticed that the wildly overpriced stocks in the cannabis industry took a hit today. But my guess is the most important practical consequence of Sessions' decision will be increased Democratic turnout in the 2018 election.
And again, I'm speaking with, I'm just going to reintroduce you, Mark.
Yeah.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Kleiman, the professor of public policy at the New York University Mehran Institute of Urban Management and at NYU Wagner, where he leads the Crime and Justice Program. He's the author of Marijuana, Costs of Abuse, Costs of Control, and edits the Drug Policy Analysis Bulletin, and also worked for the U.S. Department of Justice as Director of Policy and Management Analysis for the Criminal Division. Sorry, what were you going to say, Mark?
I think the most likely consequence here is to help Democrats in 2018. I mean, if Sessions had been on the Democratic National Committee payroll, I'm not sure what he could have done.
Right. Well,
more favorable to that cause.
Well, then the question would be, to some extent, you can make that argument that Donald Trump is also probably going to help turnout.
Yes.
But still, it seems that what happened, you mentioned that there's always been this, the fact that it's always been a against the law, against federal law, but states have legalized it. And that reconciliation has not happened. But to some extent, I suppose Obama tried to finesse it, deciding not to sue these states and set up this regime, and now it's been reversed, right? This accommodation, the Kohl memo.
Right.
But you don't think it's a big deal, just in the broadest sense?
Well, I mean, I doubt that it will have much impact on cannabis commerce.
Mm-hmm.
If the Justice Department had decided to make war on the state legal industry back in 2012, when it was just Colorado and Washington, they would have had a more plausible shot. But the notion of the federal government trying to enforce cannabis laws in California barehanded is just is beyond silly.
So, is this a personal obsession of Jeff Sessions? Because we do have a manifest opioid crisis in this country, and you can trace it to the source, which is what the DEA does. They always go after the drug kingpins and the drug labs, and they used to defoliate. Maybe they still defoliate the jungles of South and Central America to go after the source. Well, the source, of course, for prescription drugs is largely Purdue Pharma. That's an easy address to find. What's Sessions doing about the opioid crisis when he seems to be obsessed with marijuana, which is like, you know, water under the bridge, you know?
That's the way it seems to me. He's a conventional but very extreme cultural conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Does
one man's personal, political, and moral stance, is that powerful enough to change the entire Justice Department and U.S. government?
I think under a different administration, this would have had to get cleared at the White House.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if Steve Bannon of blessed memory were still there, he probably would have pointed out that cannabis is a lot more popular than Donald Trump at the moment, and this is not a smart thing to do.
Right.
So partly this is, I think, Sessions freelancing when nobody's watching.
Because Donald Trump is distracted tweeting and trying to stop the publication of a book that's already the number one bestseller.
And has utterly failed to set up the normal channels of decision-making that constrain cabinet officers not to do things that the president promised not to do. And now, look, it's not surprising if somebody changes his mind after a campaign promise.
Right.
But you would have expected some amount of clearance from the White House on this. Sessions didn't even bother to recite that he had Trump's support.
Right.
So it looks to me like he's just freelancing. Look, there may be some prosecutions. I can imagine.
Right. But you don't expect Trump to step in. I mean,
I've done many stupid things in my life.
Yeah.
But predicting the actions of Donald Trump.
No,
thanks.
Right. Bannon, of course.
One thing that is worth, and then again, it wasn't mentioned today. So there are a couple of things that Sessions could have said that he did not say that suggest to me that this is just his political posturing, that he doesn't really mean it.
Right.
Well, he didn't say anything about injunctions.
Hmm.
He also didn't say anything about the fact that there are about 4,000 assistant U.S. attorneys in the 94 judicial districts. There's also a staff of about 400 attorneys, prosecutors, in the main criminal division in Washington. Right, so those aren't part of the U.S. attorney system.
Right.
And their authority is national. And so there is a narcotic section of the criminal division. I worked for those guys 30 years ago. It would certainly be within Sessions' powers to say to them, go to DEA and let's make some cannabis cases against some of the big state legal growers or retailers. And he has complete power to do that. He didn't say that he was going to do that. The memo refers entirely to the United States attorneys.
Well, but we just have to wrap it up now. But if Trump doesn't have too many Republican senators, he can afford to alienate, and he's already got Cory Gardner mad as hell, and all the states' rights guys like, Rand Paul and others are against this as well. So, I think the whole thing is, I think you put your finger on it, Mark, that this is Sessions freelancing, and nobody's minding the store in the White House. So. I thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And again, I've been speaking with Mark Kleiman, who is the professor of public policy at the New York University Maron Institute of Urban Management and at the NYU Wagner, where he leads the Crime and Justice Program. He's the author of Marijuana, Costs of Abuse, Costs of Control, and he edits the Drug Policy Analysis Bulletin and also worked for the U.S. Department of Justice as Director of Policy and Management Analysis for the Criminal Division. We're going to take a brief station break, and we're back looking into Bannon's belief that the Mueller probe is all about money laundering.